Dads and ladies, welcome to the Junior Classics.
Hi there, I'm Sir Bradley Hassey, a teller of borrowed tales. Join me as I share stories of courage, adventure, and wonder. But don't take my word for it. You can find out for yourself on today's Junior Classic. Welcome back, Junior Scholars. My name is Sir Bradley Hassey, guardian of the written word and your guide through the Junior Classics. Our mission is to safeguard the wisdom in the classics and inspire children with a love of good reading. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us, and a very special thank you to my loyal listeners and supporters who tune in each and every episode. Today's episode is another tale from India called The Farmer and the Moneylender by Joseph Jacobs. Now, don't forget the new Junior Classics art project we started. After you listen to the story, or while you listen to the story, do an art project of your choosing based on what you liked from the story. Then ask your parents to take a picture of it and send it in. You can send it to our Facebook, Instagram, or our email at juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com. Once I receive a bundle of them, I may do a video to display your artwork and talk about what I liked about it. You can send in a coloring, a model out of Legos or Play-Doh, clay, anything you want to do. Just have fun with it and send it in. Okay, now it's time for
Lost and Found Words!
Listen carefully to these words and their meanings and try and spot them during the show. Our first word is farthing. A farthing is an old British coin valued at 1/4 of a penny. Next we have a Brahmin. A Brahmin is a Hindu priest, and Hinduism is a religion in India. Next we have a yogi. A yogi is a follower of yoga, or one who practices yoga as a daily ritual. Next we have the word wiles. Now, wiles are deceptive schemes to trick or persuade someone to do what one wants. So in our story today, the moneylender uses his wiles to take advantage of people for their money. Then we have the word jauntily, with a J, jauntily. This means you behave in a way that shows you are happy and confident. Then we have the word conceivable. Conceivable means that something is capable of being imagined or grasped mentally. Other words that have the same meaning are possible, believable, and thinkable. If something is inconceivable, that means that you think that something is impossible. And our last word is a conch. A conch is a seashell. When the seashell is dried, one can poke a hole in it and play it like a trumpet. Shell trumpets have been used by humans for a very long time. Earlier this year in January, I went to Belize and went spearfishing, and we actually dove down to the bottom of the seafloor and found some conch shells and brought them up and brought them back. So I'll try and find the pictures of that and I can show you. Also, the other lobsters, crabs, and fish we hunted also was pretty cool. Now, on to the show. A verse in the book of Proverbs says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the moneylender." Slave is a powerful word. A slave does not have his full freedom. He can't go where he wants or do what he wants to do, because a master controls him. As you listen to the story, think about the relationship between the farmer and the moneylender. Who controls who and why?
The Farmer and the Moneylender by Joseph Jacobs.
There was once a farmer who suffered much at the hands of the moneylender. Good harvests or bad, The farmer was always poor, the money lender rich. At the last, when he hadn't a farthing left, the farmer went to the money lender's house and said, "You can't squeeze water from a stone, and as you have nothing to get by me now, you might tell me the secret of becoming rich."
"My friend, riches come from Ram. Ask him."
"Thank you, I will," replied the simple farmer. So he prepared 3 griddle cakes to last him on the journey and set out to find Ram. First, he met a Brahmin, and to him he gave a cake, asking him to point out the road to Ram. But the Brahmin only took the cake and went on his way without a word. Next, the farmer met a yogi, or devotee, and to him he gave a cake without receiving any help in return. At last, he came upon a poor man sitting under a tree, and finding out he was hungry, the kindly farmer gave him his last cake, and sitting down to rest beside him, entered into conversation.
"And where are you going?"
"Oh, I have a long journey before me, for I am going to find Ram. I don't suppose you could tell me which way to go."
"Perhaps I can, for I am Ram. What do you want of me?"
Then the farmer told the whole story, and Ram, taking pity on him, gave him a conch shell and showed him how to blow it in a particular way, saying,
"Remember, whatever you wish for, you have only to blow the conch that way, and your wish will be fulfilled. Only have a care of that moneylender, for even magic is not proof against their wiles."
The farmer went back to his village rejoicing. In fact, the moneylender noticed his high spirits at once and said to himself,
"Some good fortune must have befallen the stupid fellow to make him hold his head so jauntily."
Therefore, he went over to the simple farmer's house and congratulated him on his good fortune in such cunning words, pretending to have heard all about it, that before long, the farmer found himself telling the whole story, all except the secret of blowing the conch. For with all his simplicity, the farmer was not quite such a fool as to tell that. Nevertheless, the money lender determined to have the conch by hook or by crook. And as he was villain enough not to stick at trifles, he waited for a favorable opportunity and stole the conch. But after nearly bursting himself with blowing the conch in every conceivable way, he was obliged to give up the secret as a bad job. However, being determined to succeed, he went back to the farmer and said,
"Look here, I've got your conch, but I can't use it. You haven't got it, so it's clear you can't use it either. Business is at a standstill unless we make a bargain. Now, I promise to give you back your conch and never to interfere with your using it on one condition, which is this. Whatever you get from it, I am to get double."
"Never! That would be the old business all over again."
"Not at all. You will have your share. Now, don't be a dog in the manger. For if you get all you want, what can it matter to you if I am rich or poor?"
At last, though it went so sorely against the grain to be of any benefit to a moneylender, the farmer was forced to yield. And from that time, no matter what he gained by the power of the conch, the moneylender gained double. And the knowledge that this was so preyed upon the farmer's mind day and night that he had no satisfaction out of anything. At last, there came a very dry season, so dry that the farmer's crops withered for want of rain. Then he blew his conch and wished for a well to water them. And lo, there was the well,
But the moneylender had two beautiful new wells. This was too much for any farmer to stand, and our friend brooded over it. And he brooded over it, till at last a bright idea came into his head. He seized the conch, blew it loudly, and cried out, "Oh, Ram, I wish to be blind of one eye." And so he was in a twinkling. But the moneylender, of course, was blind of both. And in trying to steer his way between two new wells, he fell into one and was drowned. Now, this true story shows that a farmer once got the better of a moneylender, but only by losing one of his eyes. Let's walk through this story, shall we? The farmer, we're told, suffered much at the hands of the moneylender. I think we can assume the farmer owed the moneylender a large sum, so large that he had no hope of ever paying off his debt. The frustrated farmer then asked the moneylender to tell him the secret to becoming rich. The moneylender's answer? Riches come from Ram, or God, basically. Okay, fair enough. The farmer, who has nothing to lose, goes in search of this Ram, actually finds him, and Ram gives him a magic conch shell, which can fulfill the farmer's every wish. So the farmer finally has some hope, comes home happily, or jauntily, I should say, ready to turn his life around. But the moneylender is watching him, and he knows something good happened to the farmer, and he doesn't like it. The moneylender is filled with greed and selfishness, and he is determined to find out what good thing happened to the farmer so he can steal it away from him. The moneylender approached the farmer and pretended he was actually happy for him. He used cunning words to trick the farmer into telling him that he was given a conch that fulfills wishes. Then the moneylender decided to steal the conch from the farmer. He hated the farmer so much, he could not stand the idea of the farmer having a better life than he. So he stole the conch, couldn't figure out how to use it, and returned to the farmer, not to give him his conch back, but to strike a dishonest agreement. The farmer finally just agrees to the deal. Whatever the farmer gained from the conch, the moneylender would receive double. The farmer then, finally completely depressed, has an idea to get back at the moneylender. He wishes to be blind in one eye, knowing that it will make the moneylender blind in both. And the blind moneylender falls into a well and drowns. So, what can we learn from this story? Remember, before the story, I read a proverb that says, "The borrower is slave to the moneylender." If you borrow money from someone, you become their slave. They will have some control over you, and you cannot regain that control until you pay them back in full. This whole dramatic episode, however, would not have happened if the farmer did not have the debt. If he would never have borrowed money in the first place, then the moneylender would not have controlled him. He wouldn't have even been in the farmer's life. You know, I don't think we teach about money very well in our society. So this is a very important lesson that you should carry with you as you get older. And the lesson is this, junior scholars. If you want the freedom to do what you want to do and go where you want to go, then don't borrow money. If you do, then you invite a master to control you, and you become their slave. Until next time, I am Sir Bradley Hassey. Be brave, be loyal, and speak the truth.
Now for you parents out there, I want you to understand why we are doing this, what we are trying to achieve, and how you can help us. This is a rescue operation to preserve the classics and the wisdom within before it is lost forever. Our goal is to inspire children with a love of good reading by safeguarding and breathing new life into the greatest stories in history and empower you, the parents, with a resource you can trust to enrich your child's mind and spirit. We don't want these stories and the wisdom within to be forgotten, so our children don't have to learn these lessons on their own. The most important thing you can do for us is to spread the message and tell others about these stories and what we are doing. If you want to donate, we would love that as well. My promise is that 100% of donations will go to building the impact and quality of the Junior Classics. If you have feedback and thoughts on how we can do things better, please send an email
to juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening to the Junior Classics.